This series we're discussing this month on the topic of treasure, and we're really focusing a lot on the investment of God. We're talking about blessing, we're talking about giving and receiving, and we're talking about what it means to have placed our treasures in the hands of God. And so today, we'll be emphasizing just a short message today, because at the end, like I said, a presentation, but at the short message today, we're talking about heavenly treasures. Come on, everybody say heavenly treasures. Amen. Our series based text is from Jesus in the book of Matthew. By the way, I just can't say it enough. Thank you guys so much for those of you who are able to serve. Put together the staff members today for the seniors and the grandparents' luncheon next door in the ministry center. We're so thankful. Guys, you know, we have a wonderful church staff here. We're so blessed to have great communicators, faithful people who love you and love the church. I think it'd be appropriate this morning for us to clap and say thank you to our church staff today for all that they do. They're just outstanding, professional people who love God and always do a great, great work in everything that they do. And so God bless you, everybody. Are you ready for the Word of God? Come on, if you're ready, say, I'm ready. Hey, thank you. I'm looking around. I'm seeing so many people today that I don't recognize, because people did bring their grandchildren. Some brought their grandparents. So if you are here today for the first time, God bless you. We hope that you encounter something today, hear something, meet someone that inspires you and encourages you in your walk with God. So Matthew chapter 6, and this is just our base text. We're talking about what Jesus had to say about treasure. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says this in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Come on, y'all say that out loud with me. Ready? Come on. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank God. And so all month long, we're emphasizing something very, very important. And the very first thing we want to emphasize about Jesus' teaching here is that giving in all its forms. So don't be distracted by the idea that we're only talking about monetary or financial giving here today, because there's a lot more to give than just money. Okay? We'll hear that today. But giving in all of its forms is a matter of the heart. Jesus said that your heart will either be towards temporal, earthly things, or your heart will be towards eternal things of heaven. And so when we prioritize our treasure that is temporary, that is earthly based, he said our investment would become vulnerable to destruction. And Jesus said this, that destruction is like moths and rust and thieves. But church, when we prioritize treasure that is eternal treasure and heavenly based, Jesus said our investment is not vulnerable to destruction. Why? It's not vulnerable because we're not putting it over into the hands of the world where it can be destroyed. We're turning our investment over to the supernatural, the God who can take the natural thing that we give and do supernatural things with it. Come on. How many are believing with me this morning that God's going to do some supernatural blessing and provision in you and your family and your church? Come on. Amen. Thank God for that. And so this is what he does. He takes our natural and he turns it into something supernatural. So this month, we're asking the question, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? So today, I'm going to talk to us about a next step, which is leaving a legacy of heavenly treasures. It's the only kind of treasure, really, grandparents can give us, and it's also the only kind of treasure grandparents can give. And so leaving a heavenly treasure today, we're going to take a few moments to stop and just reflect on the incredible value that the contribution, the gifts, the influences that our parents and grandparents can leave. Y'all ready? So let's just dive into a few scriptures that offer this beautiful words of an affirmation about the heavenly treasures that are passed down from generation to generation. Everybody say passed down. Come on. Amen. We'll call them legacy treasures today. And I want to show you just five very quickly. I'm going to rush through the abbreviated message today so we can get to our presentation at the end and celebrate. But five vital legacy treasures, which number one is very, very simple. It's a crown of honor. Everybody say honor. Come on. You leave a crown of honor, grandparents. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6 says this, Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their honor. If I could this morning, I would give gold crowns to each and every grandparent. If I could, I would. Why? Because you've invested so much into the lives of others, your family, your kids, your grandkids, your church, and you've made such an impact. I remember the very special relationship that I had with my own grandmother. Her name was Granny Seals, and she really was the very best friend I had in this life for a long time. In fact, people used to make fun of me all the time because I would like to go on weekends and hang out with my granny. And she had a cute, in fact, I'll tell you this. When Karen and I first met, I knew I was going to marry her the day I met her. And I was determined to make sure to get the stamp of approval from my great-grandmother and my grandmother. So on our very first date, I thought, well, she's going to have to meet somebody first. So I thought, who's she going to meet first? So the first person I took Karen to meet was my great-grandmother. She lived in the government housing project on top of the hill in Bessemer, Alabama, near the old Church of God campgrounds. And I took her there to meet what we called her Maw-Maw. And I met Maw-Maw. She met Maw-Maw's very first person in the family. And I thought after that, well, who's going to be the second person? And the second person was Granny Seals that she ever met. So I took her to meet Granny Seals. And I'll never forget, my little Granny Seals used to always get so excited. And when she'd get excited, she'd do the same thing. Her eyes would light up and she'd go, "Woo!" She'd do it. Her eyes, she'd go, "Woo!" like this right here. And she'd get really excited. And so when I introduced her to Karen, a few minutes later, she went over there to me and she said, this is the first time she ever met her. She went, "Woo, Brandon." And then this is exactly what Granny said about Karen. She said, "Son, you're going to marry her." That's what Granny told me. And I said, I know. Very first date. I know I am. Thank God. And she was right. And so after Granny said it, I had to marry her. That's all it was to. Hey, you have to do what Granny says. Come on, grandmothers. Amen. Amen. What she did for me, she passed down a crown of honor to me. Because even back then, I prayed that the way in which I would live my life would be a blessing to her. And her influence feels like a crown of honor. See, not only are grandchildren a crown to those who are older in our life, if you're a grandparent here this morning, here today, I hope that you will begin to see yourself as the source of honor and pride for your family. Here it is. When you can pass nothing else down to your children, you can always give them a crown of honor that will influence their lives. It'll influence their daily decisions for the rest of their lives. Amen, everybody. Aren't you glad to have the influence of your grandparent here today? Thank God. Second legacy treasure is a very, very important treasure. It's going to be the crown of faith. Grandparents and parents who pass down a crown of faith. There's a great example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. This is the Apostle Paul encouraging his disciple Timothy. And here's what he said. He said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it is in you also." Notice that the great pastor, the young pastor Timothy, was known for his great faith, but Paul points out the fact that his faith didn't come from him. It came from Eunice's mama, whose faith came from Lois, her mama, Timothy's grandmother. And the word points this out to us. See, perhaps there's nothing more important to all of us here today than passing down a heritage of faith to our children and grandchildren. In fact, grandparents have a divine responsibility to share the love of the Lord with their children and their grandchildren. It's a responsibility, church, that should be seen as a blessed opportunity to share the gospel with the next generation. In fact, come on, say next generation. Oh, there's definitely a responsibility. Just like Paul reminded young Timothy of his great spiritual heritage, his grandparents. And as grandparents, you're responsible to be reminded of the importance of your spiritual legacy. You've got one. You're going to leave a legacy, a spiritual legacy to your family, whether you know it or not, whether you want to or not. They're looking to you for some kind of influence. And sometimes, church, it's good for us to see something very, very important. that unless our parents and unless our grandparents pass on the great legacy of faith, it will not take root in the next generation. Let me say that just one more time like this. Grandparents and parents, if you don't pass it down, it won't get picked up. Come on, somebody. It's very true. It's a huge responsibility, but it's also a wonderful blessing to give your family an example of how to follow Jesus Christ. Thank God. Thank God. Your crown of faith is getting passed down. Number three, we'll call it this, and this might be my favorite one to mention today. Your crown of perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Do you know what perseverance is? Perseverance is that innate ability, that willingness to continue to press and push and work and serve. Continue to do your best. Even in the face of great adversity, we persevere through things. And as you get older and as you become a parent and eventually a great grandparent and a great grandparent, it's important that you continue to persevere and don't let the enemy dupe you into thinking that God is finished with you. Here's what the Bible says in Psalms 92 and verse 14. Verse 14 says this, "They shall still bear fruit in old age." Thank God. Come on, somebody. "They shall be fresh and flourishing." Somebody needs to get that attitude in them this morning that, you know what, God is not finished with me yet. Amen. You can still bear fruit in an older age. And it's important for grandparents not to become complacent in their spiritual life, but instead begin to flourish under the mighty hand of God. After all, we're reminded about the Old Testament saint, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who laughed at God when she heard that she was going to bear a son in her old age. See, God had given them a promise. And despite God's promise, she became to believe that she was past her prime and would remain a barren woman. But how many know this morning that God had other plans? And when the Lord has other plans, we can trust him to do what he says he's going to do. He had a plan to make Sarah the matriarch of the lineage of Israel. So grandparents, listen to me. Don't let your age stop you from bearing fruit for God. No, persevere. Continue to believe. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, remain open to the mighty works of the power of God in your life. The move of God is not just for young people. It's not just for other people, church. No matter how old you are, if you're a parent or a grandparent in here, your better days are not behind you. Your better days are before you. God still wants to use you. Why is this? Here's why. Because your grandchildren need what you have to offer. Your grandchildren need you. Your church needs you. Children and grandchildren need to see this great example that you can set of how to trust in God, how to persevere through the tough times. Let me ask you this question. Who better to show the way than those of you who've already been there? Who better to show the way than those of you who've already experienced the process of relying on God until God comes through? And now because you know how to persevere, you've got a crown of perseverance to pass on and a tendency and a new trend to set for your family. I'll tell you this right now. You've been there, you've done that, you know how to do it. And you better believe the enemy would lie to you. And this happens to a lot of grandparents and great grandparents. It's not just in church, it's in life. It's biological and it's societal and cultural. Older people begin to feel irrelevant and left alone and unloved. That should never be so in the body of Jesus Christ. The scripture is so clear that there is a place for everybody and a responsibility for everybody, from little bitty to age old. We've all got something great to do. So thank you this morning. Thank you, those of you, for your crown of perseverance. And I urge you today, grandparents, to keep living, keep on bearing fruit, keep on being that great example for those people who are looking to you for motivation and for inspiration. Don't pull up short. Keep relying on God. He'll use you. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen. Amen. He'll use you. And that fourth legacy treasure today is so special. It's the crown of wisdom. I like what Miss Carla was saying earlier about the gray hairs being hairs of wisdom. We got some wise people in here. think we've got a few people that's done lost their wisdom too. I'm both. I'm getting wise and I'm losing some wisdom along the way. Thank God. So let's look at Titus chapter 2 real quick. Just five little scriptures. This is so important. And as we read Titus 2, notice that it's the grandparents' responsibility to teach spiritual matters to the younger generations. This is talking to older people here. Verse 1 of Titus 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, in love, in patience. And verse number 3 focused on the women. He said, the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Please notice right here, everybody, that the scripture is giving a commandment for older men to have responsibility to influence the younger men in the church. It's giving a commandment for the older women who are born again, who are experienced and have been serving God for some time. You've got a responsibility and a commandment from the Word of God to take under your wing and to accept the responsibility of training and teaching and influencing the younger generation. Amen. Like we said a moment ago, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Come on. I'll tell you this too. I said this in the first service and it bears repeating. You really don't need to complain about the direction or the culture or the nature or what's getting done and not done or the things that are being emphasized and the things that are being neglected, the importance of sound doctrine and prayer, wonderful worship, spiritual service and sacrifice and evangelism. All of these things are attributes that the Word says, older generation, it's up to you to do them, keep doing them, keep bearing fruit in them. Why? So the younger generation can see your example and pick it up, and the effectiveness of the kingdom can continue to go and flow through the local church. If you don't do these things, they will not get done. Come on, somebody. Notice verse number 4 continues with the women. It says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Teach them how. I wonder how many marriages could be saved. How many young marriages could be saved if somebody would just take her under your wing and show her and teach her an example of how to love her husband and children, and vice versa with the men. He goes on in verse 5, teach her this, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be homemakers, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands. Here's why, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Thank God. Do you see it as a responsibility? For grandmothers in particular this morning, this passage points out the importance of living an upstanding life as an example to the younger women. After all, guys, it's the next generation that needs your guidance and needs your mentorship. Grandparents, here it is. They haven't experienced what you've experienced. Can I say it one more time? They haven't got your experience. Younger women need older women to teach them and encourage them through the various stages of life. So I urge you today, resist those feelings of unimportance. The enemy's lying to some people right now. Resist those feelings of unimportance and rise up to the call of being a strong, vocal, and verbal, visual example. Here it is, guys. Sometimes your wisdom, sometimes your life's experience is exactly what's needed to help your loved ones take their next level steps in God's plan for their lives. Thank God, thank God. Y'all receive it today? Come on. And finally, number 5. The great legacy treasure that's to be left. Crowns of character. Everybody say character. Great crowns of character. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22 says this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. This scripture is talking about both financial inheritance and spiritual inheritance. It's that act of living so that you pass down godly character to your next generations. It's a huge responsibility. It's one of the reasons why God has allowed me to have compassion on people, even when they make mistakes. Here's the reason. Because everybody is the way they are because of what they've been through in life. And sometimes daddies don't know how to be husbands and daddies because their daddy didn't give them the tools. And their daddy don't have the tools to give because his daddy didn't have the tools to give. Amen. And sometimes mamas don't understand how to be a great, loving, nurturing mama because her mama didn't give her the tools. Amen. Come on, somebody. And her mama didn't have the tools because of what her mama went through. And grandmama went through this and this. And it becomes generational. But when we understand that that crown of character comes from us. And if you're dealing with that doubt right now of whether or not God can continue to use you, because I guarantee you this morning, there's some wonderful, precious people in here today right now that are looking back in reflection and saying, hey, Pastor B, I understand what you're saying, but I've already blown it. I've already wasted my time. I didn't really live big for God in front of my kids or my grandkids, and so I must have wasted all my time. Listen, here's the message to you on that right there. Why don't you just start right now? Because let me tell you what about the kids and the grandkids. They're just waiting with bated breath on the edge of their seat, looking into your life and wondering if you're ever going to step up and become the person of God that God wants you to be. So don't worry about those wasted years. Just get God involved today and start right now. It's never too late. They will submit. They will respect. They will listen to you. Amen. They'll be so glad. It could be the most motivating thing you've ever done, finally saying yes to live big for God. Thank God. Patrick Henry said this, one of our great founding fathers. He said, "This is all the inheritance I give to my dear family, the religion of Christ, and it will give them an inheritance which will truly make them rich indeed." Thank God. So I encourage you today, make some time to pray. Make some time to plan a course of action that will help you leave the most valuable inheritance possible. And remember, it's not monetary gifts that matter most, although they're important. It's not monetary gifts that matter more than anything else. Grandparents, it's your spiritual contribution to your family, your grandchildren. And that spiritual contribution is more precious than silver and gold. Amen, everybody. Come on. Have you been edified by this today? Why don't you give God a big praise right now in Jesus' name?